Hi. I always pretend that this is my living room and you guys are my guests. Make it real comfortable. You have your Bibles? I want you to find the book of Hosea. It's after Daniel, before the New Testament. I'm going to give you time. I want to read a scripture from you from Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah was a very emotional prophet, and he went through some deep dealings with God. And in Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man or a woman to bear the yoke in his youth, to bear the yoke or to learn of him, or to be silent and give God some quality and quantity time." It said, "It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth." And verse 55 says, "I called on the name of the Lord. From the lowest pit, you have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry of help. You drew near on the day I called on you, and you said, 'Do not fear.'" Amen. Lord, I just pray right now. God, I thank you how you loved on us through the worship, Lord, how you tug on our hearts, and how you would do anything, Lord, to keep us by your side. And God, I ask you tonight that you would quiet us with your love, and you would speak into areas, Lord, that no man, no woman, nothing could reach but your spirit, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you will do a work in this house tonight. I thank you for deep, deep healings, God. I thank you for oppression, depression to be broken, God, confusion, God. Lord, I thank you that where your spirit is, there is liberty. I thank you for the oil, God, where you bind up broken hearts, God, because when your gospel is preached, oh God, and the power of the Holy Ghost comes, you uproot and break every stronghold, God. And I'm believing you to do this tonight, God. And I ask you just to keep me in your stream, God. And I bless you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight when God's about to whisper. I have a little small apartment in Harlem. And I have a sign that I hung up there. And it says this: "Make time for the quiet moments as God whispers and the Lord and the world is loud." As God whispers and the world is loud. And so I hung it up there, and I was sitting on my couch one day, and I just left it there. And Lord is like, "Well, that really isn't really a nice sign. And I don't really think that you hung it up just to decorate this apartment, because it's really not that nice. But what I would like you to do, Lisa, is make a lifestyle out of this. And there's going to be seasons and times where I'm going to want to take you away. You're going to want to socialize, and I'm going to want to spiritually ostracize, and I'm going to take you away, and I want to have you all to myself. And I would, in those seasons, quiet you with my love." And so I've been through this in my life. In 14 years that I've been saved, I am a January baby, Michael, and I'm way over 30 years old. But I was born in a blizzard, and I happen to love blizzards. I love when it snows. And during this prayer and fasting, I have been praying that God would begin to bring a blizzard, a spiritual blizzard, in my spirit and in your spirit. And so if you're experiencing shutdowns and Lord is blocking you and you can't find your way and you feel like you're hemmed in, it's my fault. What I mean by a blizzard is that when the snow begins to fall, he'll almost cause a shutdown where the traffic would cease and maybe phone lines go out and where you can be shut in, and there's a blanket of white that covers all the dirt as the Lord desires to cover us with his love and speak to us even in the midst of our deepest struggles, that I'm here and my blood has cleansed you whiter than snow, where he will quiet us, where he will begin to see deep areas in our lives that only his spirit could go to. And I know there's many here tonight that emotionally, he would quiet maybe technology. He would put a technology shutdown with all the iPhones and the iPods and the this and the that. And he would bring us into places where there's a barrenness and there's a wilderness, so he could begin to get the wilderness out of us. And the loudest thing that I have been noticing that's screaming in this generation is the commotion that's going on in our emotions. Anybody in the house? And so he'll set us apart and he'll begin to draw us. And in Job 37:6, speaking of a blizzard and a snowstorm, it says to the snow, fall on the ground. 37:16 says he quiets the earth by the south wind. Job 38 verses 22-23. It says, have you entered the treasury of the snow, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? It's amazing that God will use a snowstorm to make wars cease. And that's why I'm saying God's love is a blizzard. It's endless. It falls. It washes. It cleanses. It shuts us in. It shuts things out. And he quiets us. And the war that I want to speak to you tonight is the war that's raging between the flesh and the spirits, between godly affections and unholy emotions. There's a war, and maybe you find yourself in a day of trouble, in a battle, and in this war. And if you are in Christ, you will experience this. And if you have never given your heart to the Lord, you're definitely experiencing troubles and wars, because the devil roams around seeking who he may devour. And God is saying to you tonight that I want to make this war cease. Because at the cross, when God whispered, "It is finished," the power of sin, hell, the devil was broken over our lives. Sin doesn't have the last say. Romans 6 tells us that sin doesn't have dominion over us anymore, and we have the ability and the enablement to make right choices because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of the cross of Jesus Christ, and because of the blood he shed, and because of the whispers of his love, and the covenant that he, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit made with us, in these seasons of brokenness, God will become and pour the totality of who Jesus is in the person of the Holy Spirit to enable us and empower us to break the deepest bondage and to live a life that he desires us to live. It's an amazing thing when you understand this. We're kept by his blood. We're empowered by his love. We're secure in his love. And even in the greatest struggles, and even in my own life, I have learned that the battle in my mind, the oppression, seasons of fiery temptations, seasons where it's seemingly I almost want to fail God or not go this way when he's telling me to go this way, or let this thing go or put this thing down. And I begin to war in my spirit because my emotions are commotional, and I begin to say, oh God, help me. And he will begin to fight for me, and he will begin to block me in and push me out and shut me down and cause a blizzard in my spirit. And I'm so thankful for that. Now, there's two responses in a snowstorm or a blizzard. And it's one that you could go out and play and have snowball fights with your friends and hang out with the crowd, and you're outside and you're busy and all that good stuff. Or you could click off, you could shut down, you could shut out and shut in the quietness of God's love and hear the still small voice. I feel like tonight God wants to go to the roots of unhealthy emotions and begin to pluck out so he could heal and break strongholds, where there would be unhealthy emotions that could cause such pain in our lives from past experiences and from catastrophic experiences, from sexual and emotional and verbal abuse, where we begin to be obscured in our thinking and misshapen in our heart, and where we would drive in relations and drive for perfection. And God is saying, no, you don't have to drive for my love. I've already come to you and done everything. And you are accepted when you accept my son. You can come right into my presence on a good day or a bad day. And he says, I want you to understand how much I love you. And I want you to understand how much I will fight for you. There could be roots of rejection where we're constantly feeling abandoned and unloved. And when a relationship or a situation switches off, the voices will begin to roar, the enemy's lies. It must be something you did. You could never be accepted. You could never be the person that people need you to be. And all of these lies, and you begin to crawl into a prison of loneliness, where you would begin to feel separation anxiety because of detachment. And the enemy will come and keep you shut down and keep you focused on yourself. Roots of insecurity that begin to scream at us. Emotions that say we'll never measure up. We're unwanted. We're unloved. Nobody will ever love us the way we need to be. And all these unhealthy dynamics that go on. And I got to thinking about this. And some of the deepest healings that I've experienced in my walk with the Lord were in my emotions, because I've come from a life of, abuse upon abuse upon abuse. And I know I've maybe said this before, but I was thinking back of my childhood, and I grew up in an Italian family, and I lived in a three family house. And so there was three floors, and I lived with my cousins, my grandmother, my grandfather. I was the oldest of all the grandchildren, and I was the black sheep, and I was very, very rebellious. And I was thinking about, there was always something going on. There was always company, 20 and 30 people over my house. And I was remembering these two cousins that I had when I was very young that were always over my house, that lived across the street from me. And they were always pushing me out of the picture, rejecting me. They would tell me, like, they're going to go home. Meantime, they made plans to sleep by each other's house. And at very early, I began to feel this rejection, and it was very hard because it went on for years. There was other sides of the story where we would all get in trouble, the three of us, and my mother, she would just blame me and punish me when these parties were going on. And so I'd get to stay in my room while everything was going on for hours all alone. And I can't tell you the damage that did. If I think back on it, I could still feel the pain. So I lived a very lonely kind of life. I was always very suicidal. And I learned how to be very rebellious at a young age. I did everything that was opposite of what I should do. But it was in that room where some of the lies of the enemy began to be rooted in my spirit, in the darkness of that place where the enemy would come. I remember one time when I was very young, maybe about 8 years old, in the same kind of punished situation, the enemy would say, you're never going to get married and you're never going to have kids. And it began to grip me in my spirit. And I decided that, you know, when this was happening, I believed it. And, you know, a stronghold comes when a lie is spoken to us and we believe it as truth and we embrace it as truth in our lives, it will become true. So the truth for me as I got older was I must be gay if I'm never going to get married and never going to have kids. And then as I believed that lie, and as my life went on, I ended up in a homosexual relationship. And so you could see where there is darkness that would try to form us. I remember just being always hit a lot, beat a lot. People would beat me up all the time, put me in the corner with straps, and I would not cry. So I really started becoming very hard. I wouldn't give in to anything. And it was very hard for me because, and even as I got older, from when I was a little girl to certain relationships, the same hands that beat me were the same hands that were reaching out to hug me. So I can't tell you how emotionally confused I was. And when these things happen, it will begin to distort your thought process. It will obscure your thinking that you don't see yourself, you don't see others, and especially you don't see God for who and what he's supposed to be. And there's some of you here tonight that as I walk through a little bit of my journey with you, maybe you can relate to what I'm saying. Maybe you have this aching pain and this aching void, the need to be loved, the need to be accepted. And maybe you're saying to yourself tonight, I want to experience the fullness of God's love, like you heard the testimony. I'm so hungry, I'm so thirsty, but nothing can fill this void. And there's a whole myriad of unmet needs. And you could end up doing the craziest things, like give yourself over to fornication and sex outside the bounds of marriage because of this craving and longing in your spirit, and misunderstand sex for love. I tell you, young people, sex is not love. Love covers. Love respects. Hallelujah. Sometimes this deep void is triggered because we live in a house that's fatherless. No doubt about it. We know that we're living in a fatherless generation, and maybe your father was absent, and so it created a void. And when you saw children and families, and you ended up wanting and longing never to come up with those, with an affirmation or a validation that we're supposed to get from a healthy family unit. Or maybe your father was there, but he was kind of absent, or maybe harsh and condemning. And so you never really experienced the love of a nurturing mom and dad. I know for me that I was verbally abused a lot, and so harsh words began to shape me. And I can tell you, and most of you know my testimony, I was out of whack relationally. And it caused me to become very angry and rebellious. And most of the things that manifested in my life was because I was longing to belong and wanting the affection and wanting to be included. And I don't have to tell you what you and I will go through to be in the crowd, so to speak. Maybe there's a constant defeat and disappointment in relations, and we end up with the misplaced trust, ungodly affections, because we try to get from someone or something what only God could give us. I will say this to you. A relationship with someone else is meant to be an extension of God's love, not a replacement. And the devil is a matchmaker. Oh yeah, he's a matchmaker. He will tie one dysfunction to another. He will come, and James says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own desires. And this word desires is affections and cravings that we begin to feel from the diseased condition of our soul. It's that part of us which craves and longs for apart from the Spirit of God. And he's a matchmaker, the enemy. He will seek out the lonely and the rejected and the vulnerable. And he will tie you to another of the same kind until he has you bound and he has strings tied on the both of you and you become his puppet. So I ask you a question tonight. Who has power over you tonight? Think about your relationships. Is there manipulation and control? Are you uncomfortable sometimes? Are you able to say no? Is your no respected in a relationship? If your no is not respected in a relationship, you need to run. You need to cut it. You need to flee. Hallelujah. Did God ordain them? Do they glorify God? Remember Pastor Patrick shared with us about godly friendships. A godly friendships lead you into faith. Do they glorify God? We ought to love with a smart heart. We're not to love blindly. We're not to love ignorantly. Just because a mouse is in a cookie jar, it doesn't make him a cookie. You could sit in your garage for 5 days and you're not going to become a car. And we do way wacky things in the guise of Christianity, and we put up with things that we have no business putting up with just because someone says, I'm a Christian. Is anybody hearing me in the house tonight? God says that we're supposed to love intelligently, with a smart heart, not ignorantly and not blindly. And maybe you're here tonight and you are saying, ooh, you are speaking down my address. You could become so most miserable, and the pain and the cycle, and you can't get out. How does God deal with this? How does he break unlawful attachments? How does he break sin cycles? I'll tell you what he'll do. In Hosea 2, you see this picture. And I've been so blown away by the love of God when I begin to understand this book of how God would cause a prophet to marry a prostitute who's in harlotry to prove to you and to prove to me and to prove to a last day's church that he will never leave us, that he's married to the backslider, that he will come and seek us out, and he will not stop until his bride is back home with him again. Is anybody hearing me today? It's a picture of a jealous husband who won't let go of his bride, though she's cheating on him. It's a picture of a heartbreaking, lovesick husband who will not rest until she's back with him again at home. And you know what? You could come and we could sing, and you could be backslidden right in the house. When your mind begins to wander and our hearts are enslaved with other loves, you could sit here and you could sing songs and you could pick up your hands, but only God knows if your heart really belongs all to him. And I thank God for the times in my life. I'm talking to you like a mom tonight. I'm not saying anything that I didn't go through, but I thank God for the times in my life when he's pulled me away from things that I would make more than he meant them to be. In Hosea chapter 2, I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. You could see in verse 5 how he breaks these unlawful attachments. He will hedge you in. He will block your paths. In the end of verse 5, it says, for she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my food and my linen, my oil and my drink. It's a picture of somebody going after something or someone to be satisfied with. Only God could satisfy us. And he says in verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns, and I will wall her in so she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yea, she will seek them, but not find them. Oh, I want to tell you something. If you are chasing something that God doesn't mean for you to have, thank God. Thank God you can't get to it. Thank God he didn't give it to you. The Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing will he withhold from you. And if he withholds it from you, it's not good for you. Hallelujah. And in verse 14, you see how he allures us into this wilderness. He allures us into this blizzard, so to speak, into this barren place. And it says in verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and I will bring her into the wilderness. You see, the devil wants to drag us away with attractions and distractions, but Jesus wants to allure us to be our distraction and our attraction. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 14, he will speak comfortably to her. It's kind of like when you dig out that word, he will speak delicately. He will whisper into the heart, right into the heart. Some of us, you're not going to get this from head knowledge. You can't get it from a book or a sermon tape, but God has to draw you into his presence where the power and the meat and the fire of the Holy Ghost can surround you and blanket you with his love and quiet you and speak so tenderly in the times where even these kind of situations will cause an oppression and a depression, and you're thinking it's the enemy, and God saying, no, I know how to get you to me. I know how to bring you close to myself. And let me ask you something. Where do we go when we're feeling like this? I learned how to run into the arms of God and sit there until he makes everything all better. He says, I'll speak tenderly to her and I'll whisper. And it's basically speaking of covenant promises when you dig out this word. And he says that I'm faithful in the midst of your failure. I know, and you know, you cannot get out of this. You need the power and the strength of my Holy Spirit. You need something that can break impossible situations. And I'm here tonight to tell you that God is the God of impossible. God will begin to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. God says, ask me. And we begin to ask simply because he says, ask. And he will begin to send, oh God, the power of the Holy Spirit to dig these roots up and dig these roots out. And his whole desire is just to woo you and to speak gently so he could be God to us. He said, I made a covenant that I will not break. And when you're utterly helpless and when you know that you can't get out, I will show up for you. The devil will roar. The devil will roar with his lies. He'll come with condemnation, fear, and guilt. But God will whisper a word to break the back of the enemy, because God's whispers are louder than the devil's roars. He will create. Faith is believing that God could perform everything he says that he will do. And that word perform is a work of that only God could do. And you see this word, he will create a clean heart. You know, when David sinned and he was in adultery and he just, have mercy on me, blot out my sins. And I love that picture of blotting out, because it's such a tender way that God will come with a healing balm and a bandage and just begin to blot out so tenderly, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, renew a right spirit. Don't take your mercy from me. Don't take your loving kindness from me. Oh, young people, don't run away when God is about to deal with you. Don't run away in fear. Run to God. The fear of God runs to God. The fear of God understands that I am persuaded that nothing could ever separate me from his love, and that I know that he sent his son to do for me what I was weak in my flesh and weak in sin, that God sent his son so that he could break the power of the enemy and we can be more than conquerors. And we will know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't it he that justifies? Who is he that condemns? It is God that justifies. It said, furthermore, Jesus died. Who would come against us and hold the charge against us if he's for us? Hallelujah. In verse 19, it says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness, in faithfulness, and you will know the Lord. It says in verse 16, in that day you shall call me husband and no longer call me my master. There'll be a relationship shift. There'll be a shift in your walk with the Lord, that you won't begin to obey him because you think he's a hard taskmaster, but you begin to obey him because it's a response of his love and faithfulness and relentlessness to seek you and hound you and take you back to himself. Hallelujah. Now, blizzards are seasonal, and they come in winter seasons, and often God will continue to draw us away. You know, the Bible says in quietness and confidence is your rest. And if you read down, it says, therefore, he will be very gracious. He will wait for us to wait for him. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is waiting on you to wait for him. I don't know about you, but that humbles me. And sometimes when God begins to draw me away, I still feel like that little girl that's punished and can't come out and play. I love the way Pastor Dave Devotional said it the other day. He said that it's like a little kid that's out for recess and don't want to go back in the classroom. But this is a classroom that we all need, amen. I feel such an urgency to plead with you to not make church a social club and to come here. Don't be on your iPods and whatever those things are, iPhones, right before service. Come here and shut down. Don't be so distracted what's happening before and what you're going to do after service. Come here to meet with the Lord. He's gracious and he tugs. So many times when I don't have to be upstairs, I'll sit right in that seat and I'll open up my heart and I don't care who's here and I'll just stretch my heart out to him. And he never fails to meet me during the worship, during the word, and you're experiencing the glory of God. And we need to have a reverence and an awe that for the fear of God again, for his presence. Oh, young people, if you can learn this when you're young, God will plead with you. He'll make you into something that will blow your mind. And he'll set you on a course to be deliverance and hope and joy for another generation. And that's where true joy comes from. My deepest deliverance and healing came to me in these times when I was alone with him. And I got to thinking, you know my testimony. I was in a 10-year relationship with my girlfriend that I knew since I was 8 years old. And God told me when we both got saved, I led her to Christ 2 weeks later. And after a while, God said, like, you need to cut this thing. And this was a while ago, years ago. It was such a hard time for me because it was very weird what happened to me. All my friends that were all together, they just left me, kind of, and ostracized me and went with her. And then the woman who was supposed to be a leadership and saved for 20 years was actually a wolf that liked my ex-girlfriend and had something against me. And so where she would come and try to counsel me, she was actually tormenting me. And it was a very hard time. And I want to say to you, be safe. Be careful who you let speak into your life just because they have 20 years. Oh, and I was a baby Christian. And I remember one time I was sitting right over there and she would like circle around me and she would find out where I sit and then move over there. And it was, God began to open up my eyes and I began to pray. And one time I was sitting right in this side and she used to worship with her hands all the way up and God told me, turn around. And I'm like, okay. And I turned around. He's like, what does she look like? I'm like, she looks like a wolf. And I didn't know nothing about Pastor Carter's sermon. But after a while, I didn't have anybody to hang out with. And I'd sit there, and when I turn around, I would be like, woo, just to make myself laugh. And after I heard Pastor Carter's sermon, wolves, she had every dynamic. But God began to draw me away, and he began to give me discernment. And I'll never forget the one time when he told me she never knew where I was coming from. And I went upstairs to the balcony and she was coming out of the ladies' room. It was after a Sunday morning service. And I ran up the steps and she had her head down. And I went up to her and I was like, boo! And she got so scared. And I said, I'm not afraid of you. I said, because what you are accusing me of, you are struggling with the same thing. You need to look in the mirror. And if you come near me, I'm going to tell Pastor Carter on you. Such a confusing time. And it was this emotional soul tie that I had with my ex-girlfriend. But I remember it was at 3 o'clock. I remember I was homesick and it was another season of sickness, pneumonia, bronchitis, the German measles, 104 fever. And God said, I want you to get up and go to the 3 o'clock service. So I put on about 9 sweaters and I was sitting right up there on the balcony. I could show you the seat. And it was one of the first times where God began to visit the sanctuary with a holy hush before 9/11. I'm just sitting there minding my business, and I got this big old sweater on, and I'm all alone, and I'm hurting, and I'm in pain, and I'm just seeking God. See, because I loved God. I loved his word. I kept on praying. I kept on reading his word. I kept on seeking him. I was at every altar call. There was nothing that was going to get in my way between me and the Lord, because once I felt his love, I was hooked, captivated. I was sitting up there, and it was very quiet. It was a 3 o'clock service, and it was the first time there was this holy hush. And Pastor Dave said, you could stay, or you could leave. He goes, I don't even know what to do, but I'm not leaving. And so we sat up in that balcony from the 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And I remember it was so peaceful and nobody was moving. And I heard God whisper to me and he said, today is your day of deliverance. He said, I'm going to set you free right now. And in the quietness of his whisper, mountains inside my spirit crumbled and I felt, push, and he set me free. Oh, yes, he set me free. I knew it. I knew it. The next time I saw that wolf and the next time I saw my ex-girlfriend, I was calm as a cucumber. Peace all around me, in my heart, in my mind. Nothing can shake me. Nothing can sway me. He broke the bondage. He cut the tie. And I just wanted to dance all over this sanctuary. I will say this to you. Let God pick your friends. Because right after that, I met Pastor Angelo's wife, Joanne Peary. And God gave me her as a gift. You know, when Goliath was knocked down, David and Jonathan began to be friends. And they had such a sweet friendship. But their friendship was Christ-centered. Their friendship was bound together by the purposes of God, where they could respect each one's place in the kingdom. And their friendship, when you really look at it, they weren't with each other 24/7, texting and twittering and my face and you. They weren't doing that. They were there for each other in divine times when God set up. And today their friendship still lives because they were bound by the Spirit of God for the purposes of God to glorify God in covenant first with God and each other. I'm telling you, let God pick your friends. When Goliath goes down, he'll send you a Holy Ghost friend. And I met this woman, and it was an amazing experience for me because she was like a mom, like a sister. We had a friendship, and even though she lived in Pennsylvania and I lived here, it was sweet, and there was joy. She was a Nathan to me. She was an encourager. She could speak into my life. I could speak into her life. She was like a Jonathan to me who would begin to pray when I should have been a Jonathan to her. We were there when we needed each other, and I still draw from this friendship till this day. I knew her for 5 years, and God snuffed her. I think he couldn't take it anymore like Enoch and took her home to be with the Lord. And to this day, I still draw from the friendship because she set such a standard in my life, and she's taught me even had to be who I am even to this generation, because what she's doing for me, I'm able to do for you. Amen. Let God pick your friends. Let your friends lead you into faith. Let your friends lead you into purity. Let your friends speak to you in a way where you know there's a trust, where you can they can listen and nobody's going to repeat it. You have to make godly choices in friendships. Hallelujah.
Lift us, God, out of ourselves, Lord, and into the place where you are.
David said, I wait quietly before the Lord. My soul waits.
That you glorify your name in the city.
Silently. He alone is my rock. He alone is my fortress. He alone is my deliverer. God wants to get you alone.
In the stores.
So that he can
in our neighborhoods,
be your he alone.
Lord,
hallelujah.
Where young people gathered for violence, let them
gather
for prayer.
I'm just going to end with this. Are you guys fasting? Because I'm fasting. And I fasted
Lord
for you
God.
Today. And I'm going to stand
Lord
on the Word of God. Isaiah 58,
so 6
says, this is the fast that I've chosen.
Nobody could touch the glory.
Now, if you believe in the power of God's Word, all you need is faith
to
believe that he's able to
do
what the Word said he's going to do.
Begin
if you came
in this
here hungry
today,
and hurting, God wants
us,
to set
Lord.
You free. He wants to go deep into
Father
the
God,
roots
I pray
and pluck them out
that you
and then
glorify
send the
your
Holy
name,
Ghost
Jesus.
To break this stronghold.
Everywhere we
I
go,
believe
in
him
homes,
to do
Lord,
this
our
tonight.
Families,
Isaiah 58, 6 says, this is the fast that I've chosen
God,
to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens,
hands,
and to let the oppressed go
everyone
free.
In this house, and we're
the Holy
sing,
Spirit
Father,
does this deep untying. Jesus is a master at untying a web, one thread
and believe,
at
believe.
A time.
I want you to see an open door. And you take that
God
open door and you walk through it.
And pour oil
into the
in Jeremiah 31:3, he says,
just do that
I have
right now.
Loved
we'll all
you
sing it together.
With an everlasting love.
Hallelujah.
Before time began, and time will never end. Hallelujah. That's how much I've loved you. And with cords cords of kindness. See, he will sever you and tie you to himself. Cords of kindness and hope I will draw you. And his cords of kindness, there's mercy, there's grace, which grace covers your sin because mercy cares about what sin is doing to you. He will draw you. He will love you. This word loved is a strong emotional attachment and a desire to possess and be in the presence of the one it loves. If you are in pain tonight, if you're oppressed, discouraged, you're in a sin cycle that you can't get out. You have commotion in your emotions, and you need help. Some of you here have been crying, God, I can't take this anymore. Some of you are destroying one another because of unhealthy and unrealistic expectations. And God is saying, I have oil for you tonight. There's forgiveness for you tonight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing. He wants to bind up the broken heart. And I've asked him to pour oil to heal these bondages. And I believe him to do so. Will you stand? I want to read this scripture by reason of an altar call. This is God speaking to you, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you. You heard the word tonight. And return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. And God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. My anger has turned away. I will be the dew of Israel. He shall grow like the lily and be lengthened in his roots down to Lebanon. And his branches shall spread and his beauty shall be like an olive tree. He will pluck you out and break that root. And he will root you deep into himself. And the oil of Christ will anoint you tonight. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, as we close this meeting, you know, one of the things that I just keep hearing in my spirit from the very beginning has just been clutter. And I'll tell you what that means. Some of us have a lot of stuff, clutter. A lot of clutter in our minds, stuff that's cluttering our time. Like Lisa shared tonight, stuff that's cluttering up our emotions, and God is wanting to clear out that clutter. You know, sometimes the Lord will put you in a squeeze. He'll put you in a place where he, like we heard tonight, to get your attention, to he'll send a blizzard. You know, he'll do whatever it takes out of love to get your attention. Begin to get some of these things out of your life that are actually taking time that you could have with him, time that you could be drawing closer to him, and where he could be flowing through your life, and where you could just really genuinely be experiencing the abundant life that Christ promised. And that clutter can be electronics. It could come from I know two ladies recently who I've heard of had to shut down their Facebook because they said it was just taking too much time. You know, I don't know what it is for you, but you know, God knows, and the devil knows, and he might be pulling your strings, and he may have pulled your strings up until this night, but God has come to cut those strings tonight to free you up so that you can go all the way with him, so you can follow hard after him. And if you say, Pastor, that's me, maybe you're in friendships or relationships that you shouldn't, you know it's just dragging you down. You know it's dragging you down. You have to rationalize. You have to make excuses just to get through. And God is saying, no more excuses. Let's call it what it is, clutter. It's clutter. And I want to cleanse you of that tonight. And if you say, Pastor, that's me, I want you to get out of your seat. Tonight's your night of freedom. Tonight is your night of freedom. You come to the front of this church, what we call an altar, and God is going to set you free tonight. He's going to free. He's going to cut the ties of that stuff tonight. And you're going to walk out of here in freedom. Listen, the heavens will open. They won't feel like brass. The heavens will open over your life. The glory of God will begin to fill your soul once again. Some of you were so on fire. You were so focused on the Lord. You were so in love with Him. And stuff has just come in. And it's like a wet blanket that has been thrown on your fire, your passion for the Lord. And tonight the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm here to take that stuff out. I'm here to take it out and free you up tonight. He wants to free you up. There may be some young people. It might be your very first time you've come into a place like this. Maybe you've never come into a church like this, but you sense something in the atmosphere and you can't quite put your finger on it. You don't know if it's just, electricity or just a good feeling, or you don't know what you're feeling, but it's God. It is the presence of a holy, loving Savior that has come to save you tonight. He's come to rescue tonight. He's come to deliver you tonight. He's come to give you a new life. He's the one you've been searching for. He's the one you've been looking for, the one you've been longing for, the one you've gone to this and to that and to this other thing for, looking for something to satisfy. He's the only one that can satisfy tonight. He's the one you're looking for. He's the one everyone is looking for. But tonight you just happen to stumble into His house to where He's hanging out, and He's come to meet with you tonight. And if you will come as well, He will change your life tonight. You'll never be the same. We're going to sing this song one more time, and then we're going to, pray. And this night is going to be history. And God is going to be glorified, and you will never be the same. He's going to work a miracle in your life tonight. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise you, God. Lift your hands to Him tonight as a sign of surrender. Lift your hands to God Almighty. You're in the presence of a holy God who loves you, who died for you, who paid the price for your sins so that you would be free, so that you would walk in freedom, so that you would know what life was really supposed to be about. Would you cry out to Him tonight? Cry out to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, I humble myself before You. I humble myself before You. Cry out to Him tonight. I humble myself before You. I ask that You would come and You would cleanse me. Cleanse me. Wash me, O God. Lord, of these things in my life that are wrong, these things in my life that are hurting me, these things in my life that are pulling me down, these things in my life that are hindering me from going forward with You, God. Cleanse me tonight. Come on, let Him hear Your voice. Cry out to Him. Let Him hear Your voice. He wants to hear Your voice. He wants to hear Your voice. Lift your voice to Him tonight. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to cleanse you tonight. Ask Him to wash you tonight. Ask Him to deliver you in your own words. Say, deliver me, God. Deliver me. Free me from this prison cell. Free me from these chains that are binding me. Free me from this lifestyle. God, I'm tired of going at this on my own. I can't make it without You. I've got to have You, God. I'm desperate tonight. I'm desperate tonight, God. I'm desperate for You tonight. Come, oh God, help me tonight. Free me tonight. Come on, talk to Him tonight. Talk to Him in your own words. Ask Him for help. Cry out, SOS, God, I need Your help. Help me tonight, God. Free me, cleanse me, deliver me. Hallelujah, deliver me tonight. Free us tonight. Free us, God, free us. Free us from all the clutter, God. Relationships, electronics, oh God. Every distraction, Lord. Lord, the evil in our own hearts, oh God. Free us from these things, Lord. Cut the ties. Sever the ties tonight. Unhealthy relationships, soul ties, oh God, that are ungodly. Free us tonight, God. Free us tonight. Free us. Free us tonight, Lord. Free us. Free us from friendships that are unhealthy. God, in the name of Jesus, distractions in the house. Evil associations, oh God. Compromising relationships, Lord. Free us tonight. Hallelujah. We cry out to You. We cry out to You, Lord. We're desperate for You tonight. Lord, we need a miracle. We need a miracle tonight.
Hallelujah. 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 God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your word tonight, your promise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you promised, Lord, that no one who trusts in you would ever be put to shame. Our trust is in you tonight. Our hope is in you tonight. Our freedom is in you tonight. Hallelujah. Our life is in you tonight. Our joy is in you. Our salvation is in you. You are the God of our salvation. You are the one who saves us, the one who rescues us, the one who delivers us. God, tonight we proclaim, Lord, that you are our salvation. You are our hope. You are our Savior. You are the one that delivers us. God, we proclaim your word tonight. We proclaim your word, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for cleansing us tonight. Hallelujah. God, we bless you and we honor you in your mighty name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, he's worthy to be praised, folks. It doesn't take God all night. When you're desperate, when you come to God, you come clean and you say, God, I can't do this. I can't do it. I've tried. I can't do it. God says, okay, step aside. Let me do it. Let me take care of this. See, this walk with God, the Christian life, is nothing short of supernatural. No one has ever been able to live the Christian life. Only one person lived it, that was Jesus. And so what he does then is he sends his spirit to live that life in and through us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Of you and I experiencing glory, this life of glory. It's Christ in us. He has to live this life in us. And the moment you realize that and surrender, all of a sudden the striving, the struggle, all this stuff begins to fall away. He just comes and he cuts the chains. And all of a sudden you find yourself walking in freedom. You find yourself walking in freedom like I did like 25 years ago. I found myself walking in freedom from just this foul mouth that I had. Every New Year's Eve, I'd make a resolution and forget it. It wouldn't be 2 minutes and blankety blank would be coming out of my mouth. Then all of a sudden I came to Christ, and even when I was a Christian, I came to Christ and I was coming to church and I would get upset and stuff would come out and be all condemned. And finally one day the Lord told me, just surrender your struggle to me. Just trust me. And the moment I began to do that, I'll tell you, it just, the chains fell off. He cut that rope. He cut those strings of that. He cut the strings, and all of a sudden I found myself walking in freedom. And that's what happens when you trust your struggle, your battle. See, the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. And when you begin to yield that to him, all of a sudden freedom just comes and begins to take control. Amen. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Faithful is the one who calls you. And the scripture says he will do it. He will do it.